This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
11:45 on Friday, next segment, we'll win off the field. Part of our winning off the field today is going to be our announcement of some of the celebs that are taking part in our mushball game coming up Tuesday. This coming week, you can come watch. Some of you can even participate with some of the celebrities and DC sports dignitaries in our Grant and Danny Mushball Classic at the Nats Youth Academy in Washington, D.C. So make sure you're listening at 11:45. Let's go to the hotline. Welcome on to the show, Mike Tenier. He's the NFL national lead writer at Bleacher Report. Love his work. Mike, I want to start with Thursday Night Football. The Bears' offense was a problem last night. Mike Glennon had three first-half turnovers. We still didn't see Mitchell Trubisky. Do you think that's coming, or are they going to ride the Glennon train a couple of more weeks?
My first question is, was what we saw last night mushball?
Yes, and, it was.
It's close, yeah.
It was, okay. And my second question is there really a Glennon train? Is that like a Thomas the Tank Engine thing? It's a very, very useless little engine. Never underestimate John Fox's ability to stall and to kind of be incredibly conservative and be old school and to be extremely stubborn about it. So anyone with any sense would say, my God, after what we saw last night, and yeah, Mike Glennon was putrid last night. He was absolutely pathetic. And you know, after that, and coming on an incredibly like long non-bye week where they go from Thursday to Monday night, this is obviously the time where you get Mitchell Trubisky ready to go out there and play. And I think most coaches and most successful coaches, if they somehow found themselves in this predicament, because successful coaches don't do this, but if they did, this would be the time they do it. But John Fox is a different beast. He kind of likes kind of setting his jaw and saying, we're going this way because we're doing things and we're slow building and we're rebuilding and all of that. And he might stick with this for the long haul. We saw him do this kind of thing in Carolina, so it's not out of the question.
Mike, I think Green Bay just lost another offensive tackle and another running back and probably another wide receiver. It's unbelievable. Is this finally the year that maybe it catches up to them, where Detroit looks frisky, Minnesota's not bad, doesn't matter who's quarterbacking them apparently, they're okay, and that defense can play. Do they finally come back down to the pack, no pun intended?
It's possible. I don't want it to end this way, first of all. You know, if a team's like era declines because guys get old and move on in free agency and stuff like that, you know, I get that. But it's like they came into this the season with two good tackles that should have been in good shape. And, you know, you lose them. And then you come into the season with a pretty good receiving core overall. And then, you know, Cobb is limited. He played okay last night. Adams takes a shot that's just completely appalling. And you might lose him for a while, although there's been some good prognosis news on his front. It shouldn't end this way. It could happen. However, when you look at what they're at running back, where Ty Montgomery might be out or limited for a while, they've never really had great depth at that position, but the rookie who took his place got hurt last night. You look at losing Adams and how that guy grew into a good ball player. Yeah, you see them down to like backup guards starting at tackle. You think it's got to happen because the Lions are so good at sort of counterpunching and staying in the pack. And the Vikings have really improved everywhere. They're a quarterback away from finally being that team, and all their quarterbacks always get hurt. So it could be that time for the Packers. Kind of in wait-and-see mode and not happy to see it turn out this way. But you can't imagine that they're going to keep continuing winning the way they have been winning the last couple of weeks with so many injuries to cover up for.
Our guests on Twitter, at Mike Tenier, NFL national lead writer at Bleacher Report. Two teams are 3-0. The Falcons, who play the Bills, who had a good win over an AFC West team this past week. The Chiefs, who play the Redskins, who had a good win over an AFC West team this past week. Which do you think's in more trouble for an upset, Atlanta or Kansas City?
I would say Kansas City right now, and I'm not just pandering to the home crowd fans, but I think you got to like the way the Redskins are playing overall right now. They're a very balanced team, and I think the Chiefs are the strongest, most balanced team in the NFL right now. What they can do in all three phases of the game is just outstanding. And I think the best way to beat them is to beat balance with balance. If you're going out there and the Redskins are blocking as well as they did against the Raiders, so I think they did a great job blocking up and protecting Cousins, and disrupting on the defensive front seven the way they did against the Raiders, which is not easy to do, that gives them an opportunity to kind of beat the Chiefs at their own game and an opportunity to come out and pull out an upset this weekend.
So let's go to this Denver-Oakland matchup here, Mike. To me, this is intriguing because both teams had some bad bogeys here on the road in week number three, where they should have been 3-0 heading into this colossal battle of the Titans. Someone's going to be 2-2 unless there's one of those awkward ties we had a bunch of last year. But who's more desperate to win this ball game, and who do you think does?
I think the Broncos, the team that really wants to make a statement right now in this. This is the battle of the Broncos, a team with no quarterback, but like just about everything else, versus the Raiders, a team with no secondary, but just about everything else. And what we saw, Washington fans saw it last week when you can just start picking apart that back seven on that defense there, and you're just going to beat them that way. At the same time, the Broncos are keep trying to put Trevor Siemian out there and say, well, this is the solution for us. And you see what happens when he's in control of the game. As when most quarterbacks are in control of the game, he looks great. And the moment he starts pressing, which he had to do a bunch of times against the Bills pass rush and when they started to mount a lead against them, then he does stuff that looks like Mike Glennon-like, where he just kind of throws the ball up for grabs. So the Broncos have to prove that they've got that quarterback, because I think they're in a short window to win the Super Bowl. I think the Raiders can look at this and say, help is on the way in the secondary. We got young players here. We got Gary and Conley and some of these other guys. They're going to develop, and we can get better as the season goes on. Broncos have to look at the concern and say, if teams can figure out what Siemian did well against the Cowboys and early in the season, we're not going to get better as the season wears on. And that's going to be a problem, especially if the Chiefs start looking like they could possibly run away and take a commanding lead in that division.
Which early season NFC East storyline do you think is more authentic? The Eagles being pretty good or the Giants being bad?
The Eagles being pretty good, as long as you keep it pretty good, that's definitely more authentic. If they were 3-0 and we're kind of talking the way we were last year about Carson City, Pennsylvania, and beating up on the Steelers, that would be inauthentic. But you can see that that's a fundamentally sound team. You saw that a couple weeks ago in that game against Washington. That's a fundamentally sound team. I think the Giants are kind of a wreck, but if you look at them overall, you know what's going to happen during the course of the season. Odell's going to have these games where he just takes on some terrible cornerback and he has like three or four touchdowns, and he doesn't pee in the end zone afterwards, so they get a win. And you look at their defensive pass rush, some of these teams with these bad offensive lines, JPP and Vernon and Snacks are just going to destroy the quarterback, and they'll win some games that way. So they're going to come off the snide. They're not going to be the Jets or the 49ers at the end of the season, but the Eagles are going to be in there in that wild card field, certainly. The problem we're having right now, and it's what we've been saying with all these conversations about the Packers, about the Vikings, about the Redskins, is it's a hard time very early when everyone's 2-1 to sort out that wild card field.
Hey, Mike, as we go through the rest of this weekend here, who's got I guess I'm looking at Seattle mainly in this case, and it couldn't be a better matchup, the Colts at home, but when do they start playing better, or do we start writing their epitaph here?
I wrote an article where I kind of wrote the epitaph a couple of days ago about the Seattle Seahawks. And the problem that they have now is what happens to a lot of teams as they come down on the other side of the Super Bowl. The Seahawks in the Super Bowl were a historic defense with a very innovative offense. Now they're a really good defense, but they're one of about 10 or 11 teams who say, hey, we've got a really good defense. And they've got this kind of catastrophe of an offense. I think they should come away from the Colts with a win, but I watch Colts games, and they don't have a quarterback, and they really don't have a head coach, but they got a lot of guys who are flying around right now, and they're a dangerous team. So I think Seattle comes away with a win there, but it's not going to be a win that should have anybody breathing easier about the Seattle Seahawks. One thing they have going for them is, you look at the NFC West right now, it's kind of a mess. I know the Rams look good. We know what the 49ers are at this point, and the Cardinals are aging before our eyes. Seattle could be like a pretty bad team, still have one of those 9-5-1, 9-6-1 seasons or whatever, and wind up on the top of that division.
If you want more Mike Tenier, go to Bleacher Report and check out his Twitter at Mike Tenier. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate you jumping aboard.
Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy football this week.
Oh, we will.
See you, buddy.
Absolutely. Skin's not playing until Monday. A lot of football to enjoy on Sunday. We'll get him back on again soon. Always like his energy. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It's Friday, which means we'll win off the field next, and we'll make an announcement on some of the celebrity softball players who are going to take part in our Mushball Classic.
Nice little list.
Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.